from Los Angeles, California. From our house to your house, you're listening to Radio Suzy One. Radio doesn't have any jingles yet, and it's got very little hype. Yeah, a little hype. And but basically, it's just plain radio at its best with Dr. Susan Bach. So when you listen to this show, you turn the lights down low. Oh, and there's another chapter that I want to talk about. Here she is, Dr. Susie.
Hi, I'm Dr. Susan Block, your love doctor, your mother confessor, your baby girl, your ever so slightly twisted little sister, your daughter of the American Revolution, your horny housewife, and your friend. You know, I'm always your friend. And I'm broadcasting live on Radio Suzy One on the World Wide Web. If you're listening on drsusanblock.com, my site, that's where you can call me. If you want to talk to me about any aspect of your sexuality, I am a sex therapist. That's my day job. And by night, I haunt the internet airwaves. And it's my haunting time for me to talk to those of you who like to talk on the air, who might not have the funds to talk to me on my telephone sex therapy line, where you speak to me privately. And, you might not have the funds, but you want to have fun. That is, you want to talk about something related to sex, love, life, death, war, peace, pleasure, pain, fantasy, fetish, imagination, reality. This is a reality show, reality radio. We talk about the reality of our lives, which sometimes involves our fantasies. And if you're in the North American continent, you can call 1-866-289-7068. That's 1-866-289-7068. And if you're outside of North America, you can call 213-749-1330. That's 213-749-1330. And if you're listening on Skype, you can just put yourself in the waiting room and we'll put you in the talk area. And I'm about to talk with Aaron Boss Art, or Aaron Bozart, I'm not sure. Hello, Aaron.
Hi.
Hi. It sounds like Aaron Boss Art.
It's Aaron Bossert.
Bossert, even more American. Okay.
Yeah.
How's it going, Aaron?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing good. And what do you want to talk with us about tonight? X with a capital X?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And what kind of sex really turns you on? Oops, he just put himself down into listening, or did I do that? No. I wasn't. I don't think I did that. I think he chickened out. He might have. He got nervous. He was very bold when he said sex. But
well, you know, he can hang out and listen and become more comfortable and then try again.
He's gone.
Oh no.
Yeah, he's gone.
All he could say was sex.
He wanted to say that. That was his big objective. He wanted to say that. And
All right,
yeah, that's
he
okay.
Had his say.
He's back.
Oh.
Aaron?
Yeah, sorry.
Oh, what happened there, darling?
My connection was lost.
Oh, okay. Aaron, how old are you?
I am 14.
Oh, you're 14. Okay, then we won't talk about what turns you on.
No.
You're a little too young for that.
A little too young for that.
So we'll we'll just ask you if you have any questions for us. Or anything you wanted to tell us. Or not. And you're 14, so you know what? It's probably best that you just lose your connection.
Okay, there we go.
He had a kind of bold, mature voice to begin with, but then when he said he lost the connection, I did think he sounded a little young. And, you know, I don't like to completely reject young people from speaking on this show because young people also need to learn about life, love, and sex. They have questions. They should be answered by someone who might know a little bit of something, you know, or else they're just going to get their questions answered by the back alleys of life. So we are not against young people asking questions on this show, though, of course, we understand all of the laws, taboos, and regulations, and we respect them. So it's a lot easier, actually, if we can talk to adults. So please, I prefer an adult, and if you want to talk to me, you can just put yourself in waiting if you're in Skype. And Aaron has just done that again. And Aaron, I'm going to move you into listening. Aaron, I'm sorry. But J-Dog is here. So hello, J-Dog.
Hey, how you doing, Susan?
Very well. And you sound like you are over 14, possibly even over 18.
Yes.
Good.
I'm 18.
You are 18 exactly.
Exactly.
Okay. And so what's going on with you? What did you want to talk about?
My girlfriend.
And is she your age or?
Yes.
Younger? Yeah. And what about your girlfriend?
She has problems.
Yeah, don't we all? But what are hers in particular?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I think we have both of them. I think they're both online.
I think they're both online.
Who's both online?
Him and his girlfriend.
No. He just fell off. He might have been a friend of Aaron's is what I think.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
I think they're both kind of...
okay, what's next? To
yeah, I think he might not have been actually 18. He sounded...
All right.
Okay, so... So what's next?
What's next?
Well, I don't
we know that 14-year-olds don't have a date on Friday night.
Let's drag some of these people. Let's send the nurses in to drag some of these people out of the waiting room.
They're not in the waiting room.
Oh, they're not.
No, those were the guys in the waiting room. Two guys. So they are now no longer in the waiting room.
I see. Okay.
They are... And I'm not putting them in the talking room.
No.
Neither of them. Okay. So... I think, let's see, how can I say this? I really don't want any kids calling anymore, okay? I mean, sometimes they have a serious question, but usually I guess they don't. Okay,
yeah,
no, J-Dog is going
Skype
in again.
Skype does
no
allow you to block certain users as well, so.
Yeah, well, I don't know how to do that.
All right, let's talk about other things till we have someone.
Okay, what would you like to talk about, Brother
Dave? Well, I'd like to talk about, first of all, the Pope today.
The Pope. I don't know what the Pope did today.
The
so
Pope.
Enlighten us.
The Pope.
Pope Rat.
The Pope has enlightened...
Ratzinger.
...the concept of limbo.
Now, he was doing that for a while, though.
Yeah, but he endorsed the fact today... that perhaps all these children that die before baptism will possibly not be in lingo the rest...
Not lingo.
Limbo.
That's a telephone company. Okay, it might put you in limbo sometimes,
and
especially when you're on hold.
They will not be in limbo for eternity, perhaps. There's a good chance that they will actually be able to enter heaven at some time.
At some time.
Yes.
So they'd sort of go through like more of a purgatory and then be able to get into heaven.
Now, they haven't done anything wrong, but they were born with that original sin.
Right, of course. Yeah. Of course. That's the Catholic view,
is that
everyone is born into original sin.
Right.
Everyone is a sinner, and you basically have to kind of go to church a lot
and
give alms to the church in order to get yourself into heaven.
Right.
You have to make up for your original sin. So if you don't have a chance to,
that
if you're a child who hasn't had a chance, I guess, then you...
So...
Even if you're not a bad person at all. I mean, you haven't even had a chance to be a bad person, so you're not going to go to hell. So they put them in now
limbo.
Yeah. And limbo is not as bad as hell, but it's not
it's
as good
a,
as heaven. It's a waiting room. It's kind of like...
Well, no, it's...
No, purgatory is the waiting
purgatory,
room.
Purgatory,
yeah. Purgatory is the waiting room
limbo
when you...
Limbo's like right below that, maybe?
Right. No, limbo is actually above that. You're in a constant state of a static...
Flux.
No, you're... You're constantly feeling like you're on drugs. Like
you're feeling good.
Like you're on morphine.
But you're not in heaven.
You're not in heaven, and you have no contact with the saints or God or Jesus. You don't get to meet them.
You feel as good as morphine.
You feel really.
But you know what?
Good.
Morphine can make you feel really bad.
Yeah,
morphine can be crazy making. I've been on morphine.
Meaning there's no pain. You don't feel any pain.
Okay, you don't feel pain, but you can feel nutty. You can feel loopy on morphine, and you probably do in limbo.
Sitting there talking to all those other kids, you could go nuts.
And all the other people. I'm sure that, I think that where they send the Jews, maybe, nice Jews who are who don't do anything bad is limbo. Because they're obviously not saved, so they're not going to go to heaven.
Right.
And maybe even Protestants, I think.
Right.
They're not going to go to heaven. They're not Catholic. Mm. Right? So maybe if they're not bad people, and they're not killers, they're not, using condoms or something like that, then they would put them in limbo.
Maybe there's a limbo for Protestants. Maybe there's a limbo
It's a Catholic idea, and I just recently learned the difference between limbo and purgatory, but it does take some getting used to it.
Purgatory
is a little hard to figure this out.
Some pain.
Because you've got to make up for something.
Right,
and then
something,
if you do that, but purgatory has hope.
Right.
You see, the thing about purgatory is you can get to heaven if you just hang out there long enough and you do your whatever you got to do to get into heaven. Now, limbo, it's like there's nothing you can do.
No, that's it.
That's what sucks
about
limbo.
That is eternal. And after telling this coming up with this mechanism, a lot of Catholics are asking, what's with all these kids in limbo? I mean, what are we going to do with them? Because as the centuries go by and as the population explosion explodes, there's more and more of these kids in limbo.
Right. I think it's a lousy thing. They've got to change the Bible or whatever the Catholic... whatever
chapter
tells
in baptism,
you. Catechism.
After they're dead or something.
Yeah, something.
A new ceremony.
We have someone in Skype who calls himself, I'm the bad guy.
Uh-oh.
And I think he has something to do with religion, so I think he might have something relevant to say.
Okay.
Hello?
Hello, bad guy.
Bad guy.
You got a bad connection. Are you there?
He's 30 years old.
Okay.
And he's Turkish, but he's in Wisconsin.
Okay.
And
I'm not Turkish. Right?
Oh, he's not Turkish.
I'm not Turkish.
Oh, you don't sound
not
Turkish.
Turkish.
Not that all Turks sound alike.
I have a Turkish camel. It has three toes.
Oh. Okay.
He has a what?
He has a camel.
No, it's a joke. It's a joke.
It's a joke.
I had to fuck with people because we've got so many Turkish people out here. All they want to do is whip off the tack I can, So I just get in there for all the gay Turkish people that keep on looking at my profile. If you also look at my link, don't click on it. It's just something nasty. But it's www.yourmama.org. And it's pretty bad.
Very bad.
I've seen it.
You are a bad guy.
That's right. And there is no heaven, okay? There's no hell. There's no freaking limbo, okay? I'll tell you
that. Well, okay. I mean, did you think we believed in all that stuff?
I need to prepare for the next life and everything else. Well, what about, where you live in now, dude? It's like, I know these people, they go to church and they throw all their freaking money into this fucking basket just so, some priest can go and molest
so they can feel better.
Child,
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, that's what religion is all about, isn't it? I mean, if they're not going to molest the bodies, at least they molest the minds. I mean, that's across the board. Church is all about the molestation of the young mind.
It's disgusting. Disgusting. Religion just sucks, okay?
What religion were you brought up with?
What were you brought up with?
I was brought up Catholic.
Oh, there you go.
That's what starts it, yes.
So,
and my grandfather and everybody else is all these freaking Bible thumping holy roller freaks, And, you need to go to church. God is by your side. He's always watching you. Yeah, well,
and did you
fucking shit.
Yeah, okay, we got your point of view. Now we want to get a little bit of understanding about you. Is this something you felt since you were a little kid, or did you have an epiphany that this was all
a
crock?
Yeah, I just like it. Dress me up for fucking Easter to go to church. Yeah, holy shit.
All right. So this was from the beginning. You were against the whole idea. Did you ever believe, did you ever think there was a God, a Father, a Son, a Holy Ghost?
Never.
Never. No, Santa Claus?
Yeah.
I'm
what you call a realist. And a realist, basically, I don't believe it if I can't see it. I can't touch it. I can't feel it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying. I had a similar childhood,
came
actually.
Out of somebody's fucking finger and said, don't eat the fucking apple off the tree. It's complete fucking stupidity. If
now, what about faith? What about the Catholic Church says that you have to have faith in these doctrines and believe? Because if you don't...
Well
if you don't,
faith,
then you'll
you know
be
what?
Thinking.
You'll be thinking.
Faith is another word for stupidity and ignorance.
Well, I have faith in the power
of
sex.
Faith. Just have faith. Let me cloud your fucking mind and put these fucking bullshit thoughts in there.
Yeah. Well, now, do you think any one religion is better than any other? I mean, Buddhism is maybe a little bit less into the faith thing.
Well, I mean, you know what? I got an uncle, and he's, what do they call that? Johannes the Witness or whatever the fuck.
Jehovah.
Johanna.
Hosanna.
Jehovah. Whatever the fuck they call
them.
Your mama. They call them. And,
they're a little intense.
They have no truth in religion, and they preach their own words themselves, you know.
Yeah.
But he used to preach constantly, and everybody fucking hated him.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So now he doesn't preach anymore, and the guy drinks like a freaking fish. You know,
yeah.
And he's actually a pretty cool guy because he finally quit preaching and realized, okay, well, you know, seriously, fucking God, I'm not praying to a higher power. You know, he's like, look at where it gets me. I fucking preach and everybody hates my fucking guts, you know?
Okay. So what about paganism? Do you ever think about being a pagan? It's kind of a little more fun, maybe, than atheism.
I'd rather be an atheist.
Yeah.
I'd rather not believe. Thing that I can't fucking touch, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like I said, I'm more of a real, I was a service tech for years. And when I look at something that's broken, okay, there's a reason why that part is broken. Something stressed that part to make that part break. There's a physical reason why it's broken.
Yeah, there is. So what do you think about the intelligent design movement?
That's George's...
intelligent design.
You know, they want to teach in the schools that that there's a higher power that is somehow behind...
Has designed all of this.
Designed everything.
I don't fucking believe that. I think that's fucking bullshit. You know,
speak your mind, why don't you?
This one's new to me.
About the fucking Big Bang fucking theory. They should tell them about the Big Bang fucking theory if they want to fucking make some fucking common sense, at least.
Well, their view, and I don't agree with this view at all, but their view is that life is so sort of amazing that somebody had to have designed it, some consciousness, some god or other.
An alien theory?
It's fucking bad.
Or an alien. I don't think things fit together that neatly in life anyway.
It's a billion of parasites that fucking form. I mean,
now, where are you calling from?
It's fucking evolution. It's fucking evolution is what it fucking is. It's what people come from. I mean, it's like right now, we're going through evolution.
You use the word
the F word.
Slow down, bad guy. You've certainly shown yourself to be what some people would call a bad guy, not because of your atheism, but, you know, and I like the F word myself. You know, I have faith in the power of the F word. I'm only saying F word because you're saying the real word so often that I feel like I should counterbalance you, you know.
So
it is a common term in the Midwest, though.
Yeah,
yeah.
It doesn't really mean sex. I mean, it doesn't mean intercourse.
No,
it's
a verb.
It's just
an adjective.
Emphasis word.
I just use it as a term, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I use it in sentences like every other sentence. I'll use it in. I was raised in Chicago, and it's how we talk.
Yeah, yeah. So, what do you?
I apologize. apologize if it's offending.
No,
it doesn't
no,
offend
no,
me at all.
No.
I just thought, you know, some people that are listening
but there are
might
a lot
have
of,
an,
there are a,
know,
lot
a little offended
a by lot
it.
Of people of faith might be offended.
Yeah, or people that are kind of into a certain
well,
kind of decorum.
You know, anybody who's got faith is too fucking stupid to be
I miss this
You're
kind
very
of
funny,
conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, that's yeah, another F word there. Funny, you know.
Where in Wisconsin are you calling from?
I'm not in Wisconsin at the moment. I live in Wisconsin. I got a place up there. But I paint the fire escapes in Chicago, Illinois.
Oh, okay.
So okay, that's very practical. We need our fire escapes to be painted. So
ours are orange right
where
now.
To go.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we just had ours painted orange.
Yeah, yeah, and we can see them very well.
And orange. The window frames and the doors.
Yeah, that's important.
I charge a lot of money to paint a fire escape orange, actually, because they should be black.
You know, I kind of agree with that.
Little bit. How's your sex life, bad guy?
My sex life, my hand is going along great.
Yeah. Well, you know what George Carlin said. You know what George Carlin said? If God had intended us not to masturbate, he would have made our arms shorter.
That's right.
Now that's...
I like that one.
You can have faith in that one.
Yeah, you can have faith in that.
Let me ask you, have you ever had sex on the fire escape? Have you ever, bad guy, have you ever had sex on
the fire escape?
Yeah.
No, that would be very uncomfortable, man. I mean, they got
you
bars,
like comfort.
Man,
he's practical.
He's practical, right.
You know, none of this romantic, dangerous stuff. Yeah.
Well, no. I have nothing wrong with having sex up against a building in an alley. That's
oh, building in an alley, that's good. Yeah,
oh,
okay.
That's kind of a nightly occurrence back here on the other side of the building.
We have an alley. Have we got an alley for you?
We got
I'm wondering what's going on. Okay, I've got one person, which is Dr. Susan M. Block, if I'm not talking to you.
Yes, you are
talking
to me. I am the sexologist here. And then
we have
Kay Ellis, porn star.
Porn star.
And we have
Brother
Dave,
the
engineer.
Chief engineer.
Chief engineer, yes.
Right.
We have many engineers who are not here.
Here.
And none of us have a date for Friday night,
no.
So we're here.
You're our date, bad guy.
Well,
yeah,
I'm
you can use your hand and I'll use mine.
Oh, <woo. laughs> She has some beautiful hands.
It's like I always said, you know? My father always told me when I was younger, you want safe sex, you sit on one side of the couch and jerk your cock while she sits on the other side and plays with her pussy.
Hey.
This is the kind of sex you like? Or?
No, it's safe sex.
No, that's safe sex. Yeah,
safe.
Yeah. That's very safe.
It's not what I like, let me tell you. I like, you know, insertion.
Right, gotcha. But, you know, you can't always get what you want, but sometimes you can just get what you need.
If it tries, that's right.
There you go. And that's how I feel about sex. You know, you can't always get the ultimate, but we should all enjoy a little pleasure in life, even if it puts us in purgatory.
Well, I'll tell you a fucking story. This is wild.
Okay.
A
fucking story.
Yeah. And I'm just about to go, man. I'm just about to blow off, you know. And then she goes and she sticks the tip of her finger up my fucking butt.
Really?
And I swear to God, it was a freaking surprise. I'm thinking, whoa, what the fuck? And next thing you know, I'm thinking, whoa, boom, I flew off like a fucking rocket. I'm thinking, oh, shit, you
know? She hit the
pee spot.
Yeah. Good thing you weren't on a fire escape.
Oh, yeah, really. You would have been flying into the alley. Yeah, well, you know. That's something that'll actually send you to hell or purgatory. I think hell, that one, yeah.
I haven't read the rule book lately, so.
But that's kind of fun, and by the way, you know that has... Have you done it yourself lately?
No, I don't do it myself.
You don't do it yourself?
No,
when you use your hand, you don't use your other hand to go in the other end?
I would never do that. That's disgusting.
Well, I'm not saying to lick your fingers afterwards, and you know, just a little stimulation there doesn't hurt.
So, if you die after having put your finger there, and you don't confess this, you will probably go to purgatory.
Is this something
no,
the Pope
I,
said
I think you
about
go to hell for that one?
Do you go to hell for that
you
one?
You go to purgatory, man, with that purgatory because you had a finger up your head.
Well, in purgatory, maybe what you have to
so
do.
So wait a minute. You're gonna fucking prostate exam. You're gonna go to fucking hell.
I don't know. Maybe we should ask the Pope.
Yeah. He's probably got his finger up his ass right now.
Is the doctor fucking violating you?
What the fuck? You know something? I also found out the other day, and as I was studying this purgatory and limbo, there's a lot of doctors who are in purgatory because they stuck their fingers up a bunch of people's things. And so they also all went to purgatory.
Proctologists are going to purgatory.
There's dozens of proctologists. Thousands of proctologists.
That's what I'm saying. How old are you?
Me? I'm ancient.
Why are you
you're
asking
ancient.
That?
So you have never had a fucking prostate exam, and you're fucking ancient.
I sure have. I had one actually a few months ago.
That's right.
Yeah.
Did we get it on film?
Okay. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. That doctor's going to go to hell because he stuck his finger
That's right.
in his butt, huh?
And not only that, when I walked in there, he said, bend over, you know the routine.
Oh!
What do you mean, I know the routine? I never had nothing up there.
and then he turned around and said, you'll smoke a turd in hell for that.
No, this is not a fire and brimstone proctologist.
It wasn't a Lutheran proctologist.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have Daniel here. Bad guy, I'm going to put you down into talking, I mean, into listening, but it's been it's been a effing pleasure.
Yeah, we're going to, we'll
okay.
talk to you again.
We'll talk
be back.
To you again. Okay.
Okay.
So, Daniel, hello.
Hi, Daniel. Hello, Daniel.
Daniel, you even wrote to me that you wanted to talk. And now Daniel has...
a technical problem, perhaps.
Probably. You know, people seem to... They do. Sometimes when I put them right on, they like, connect something that disconnects
right,
them.
Right, that disconnects them.
Okay.
All right, so...
And guess who's back? Sarman.
Sarman.
Oh, I have not processed Sarman's reservation yet.
Sarman.
I have not seen it come across the computer.
Hello, Sarman.
What's up?
You.
What's going on?
Oh, we're in purgatory. We're trying to work our way.
I think we're in limbo right now.
We're doing the limbo.
You know, it's Friday night. We're a little nutty.
It's Friday night.
Yeah.
It's 4:20.
We ain't got a life. We don't have a date.
Yeah.
You know, we're sitting here doing a radio show.
Trying to have some fun here with our peeps here on
Did
the radio.
You make your reservation yet?
Reservation for what?
Our party.
May 19th?
May 19th.
Of course.
Oh, I haven't seen it yet.
Ooh.
Kay wants to see what 6'3" looks like.
We're all knowing here, you know.
Yeah.
I'm working out.
You're working out?
Getting ready. Yeah. So when we see you, you're going to be all nice and buff.
My wife's got me on a diet.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
For the next show.
What are you eating?
I'm eating
vegetables.
The same thing the bunnies eat.
He's eating what food eats.
I've been eating a celery recently.
Oh,
day.
That's
very
good.
That'll
make your semen taste
yeah.
fresh.
That
nice
and pineapple
fresh.
Juice.
Pineapple juice, really?
Oh,
yeah. Pineapple juice is also good for the semen. Freshens up the semen. Absolutely.
I heard whatever you eat... It makes your semen taste differently.
Well, it does. You are what you eat, especially as far as your semen is concerned. I mean, it certainly is the case as far as your breath is concerned. And it does affect the semen. So eat lots of celery and pineapple juice and cinnamon. Not necessarily all together.
Well, and I've heard stay away from turkey burgers.
Really?
Yes, I have. That came from one of our therapists.
Really, but I thought you guys are all eating turkey burgers all the time.
Oh, no.
Not that you have sperm, too.
Commissary got us actual beef hamburgers, and those are going over real well.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll have to have a discussion with Mara about this, because she's a turkey burger addict.
We'll leave that for her. She can have the turkey.
All right. So, Sarman, have you made any progress in your search for the perfect woman?
I've been too busy.
That's
Friday. It's the weekend, so I'll see what happens.
Okay.
I'm
all
supposed
right.
to be getting a car.
You're getting a car?
Hello?
A car.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
He's working out.
Getting?
He's getting a car. He's getting himself all set up.
What kind of car are you getting?
Yeah. I don't know. I'll see what I can find.
All right.
I'm not sure.
good
a
gas
Toyota
mileage.
Or a Honda.
Right.
A
now,
green vehicle.
If
know?
You get a green vehicle, you get all the hippie chicks and, you know, flower girls.
But you can't get that freeway pass to get in the diamond lane anymore because they've given them all out. So if you can buy a used car with that little yellow ribbon on it, that's valuable.
Yeah. Huh. I was thinking of getting something enough with enough room to fit a bunch of people in the back, you know what I mean?
Oh, that's going to take a lot of gas.
A limo. Get a limo. We'll ride in it. So I have also Hazem here. Let me just see before I get before I put Sarman down to
let's
to listen.
Hear
let's
to
see if we can hear Hazem.
Hazem, hello, Hazem.
Hello.
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 Hazem.
What are you doctor in?
I am a doctor of philosophy with an emphasis in psychology, and I am a sex therapist.
Psychology?
That's the one you chose to pick? Yep, yeah, psychology. Mm-hmm.
No, it's the one I actually heard.
Okay.
I didn't hear
I'm a doctor. My PhD is in philosophy, and it's an emphasis in psychology. My personal philosophy is ethical hedonism. I try to help people to pursue and cultivate the pleasures of life and try not to hurt anyone, including yourself.
Uh-huh.
Well, a little light spanking's okay.
So I think I'll just listen to
okay.
Fly.
Okay, that's,
yeah.
That's why we can't...
We're
putting you into listening, that's right. Okay.
Okay.
All right, Sarman. It's you and us right. now. Okay, so...
It's the Friday night dating game with Sarman. Because none of us have a date tonight, do
right.
we?
I don't know. I kind of feel like I have a date with everyone here. It's like this is a date for me, a married woman. This is my idea of a date.
Hey, I have someone at work I'm talking to. So.
Oh
okay.
really?
Ooh, tell us about
yeah.
it.
A girl, I guess.
Yeah, she's really really thin.
Thin.
Don't talk much, so I can take advantage of that.
Ooh.
Uh-huh.
But you talk so very well.
So she's shy.
She's
like
shy, yeah.
She's a bony girl. I love girls with bones.
Bony girls.
Bony girls, uh-huh. man. I can get into those ribs and.
You like thin
you know.
Girls, Sarman, or do you like more of a meaty girl like we had last night? The one that looked like
meaty.
Anna Nicola Smith.
Meaty.
You like
yeah,
a
like
meaty.
Meaty
you like meaty, but
them.
You'll settle for thin.
Yeah. You know,
hey.
Whatever.
Whatever.
Okay, so how tall is she?
She's half my size.
Ooh.
So,
half your size. That sounds kind of short.
And she's a tall guy.
Is
he's
she
a tall guy.
6'3", that would be 3
I'm
foot.
Tall.
She's probably
one
about
and a half.
Five.
No,
one.
She's got to be taller
five
than that.
Something.
Five something.
Five
okay,
something.
A little bit more than half.
Did
your
she
size.
Kiss your knee yet?
Not yet.
I think he's looking for her to kiss another part.
Is she a blonde or a redhead?
She is split up. I'm trying to remember.
Trying to remember. Yeah.
<she's> brown.
You know she's female,
brown.
Though. That much you know.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that's.
You got to be careful nowadays.
She's cool.
Is she about your age?
She's 19.
19?
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Sweet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, bring her to the speakeasy on May 19th.
No.
I told her
no.
about it.
Just kidding.
But she has like this... She has like this time she has to be home. What is that?
Oh, she
curfew?
Has,
she
oh,
turns
she
into
has,
a pumpkin.
She has a curfew. I
Does
think.
She live with her mom and dad?
Curfew, yeah.
Oh, okay. Be careful. She lives with her mom and dad. Well, you're a nice young man.
Yeah, you
I'm sure they'll approve of you.
And check her ID.
Yeah.
Especially when they see that hot
yeah,
car you're going to show up at her house with.
Uh-huh.
All right, Sarman. Let's see. We have Nicholas... Vedra here. Let's just have a okay, Nicholas. I'm gonna put him up or her. I'm not. I guess this is a guy. Hello, Nicholas.
Hi. How are you? I'm Nicholas Saavedra. I'm from South America, Chile.
Oh.
All right. Hi.
So, welcome to the Dr. Susan Block Show.
Nice. Thanks so much.
My pleasure. And what would you like to talk about?
I don't know, I have a problem now with any kind of relationship with, I like afraid of have a commitment with someone.
Okay, we're going to talk about your fear of commitment. Sarman, I'm going to move you down to listening. Sarman's not afraid of commitment. He's ready. But, Nicholas, you're afraid of commitment. How old are you, Nicholas?
26 years old.
26 years old, and are you working or are you studying? What do you do?
I have my own advertising agency.
Oh. Well, you're probably working very hard.
I work very hard,
yeah.
But I have, like, a lot. Almost get married 2 years ago.
Yeah.
With a girl I met from I'm from Germany.
Oh.
I'm born in Germany. And then I back to Chile. And this girl, I met her from ever. Since I have 1 year old. He's like a friend of my, his parents are friends of my parents. And she dumped me 3 months before we waiting, after we waiting.
She dumped you?
Yeah, she dumped me. She
kicked
me out of my apartment.
She kicked you out of your apartment? Wow.
Yeah, I bought an apartment.
That's quite a dump there, to be kicked out of your own apartment.
Yeah, and I give her a car and everything, and she doesn't like I worked a lot, but she likes to have nice things, like travel around the world.
Well, we all like nice things.
She can be with somebody who work all day. I don't know. I can understand that.
She doesn't want to be with someone that works all day.
Yeah, but she likes to have nice things, like a brand new Peugeot.
Yeah.
Like a nice apartment and the hills here.
She wants all the things that money can buy. But she doesn't
she doesn't want to work, and I don't know the answer for doing that. I don't know the way to do that.
Well, this does not sound like the girl for you.
Yeah, you sound like a very nice guy.
And it doesn't sound like you were afraid of commitment. It sounds like you were dumped.
He's afraid now.
Yeah, maybe you are now.
Now.
Maybe you
know. Now I dance with some girls, but gonna be serious, I get away. I run, I take a trip, I have to work out of Santiago, the main town. Always I have a excuse to go out when I feel like there's gonna be a commitment, I'm gonna know her parents, and then always get away.
So you are afraid that you're going to get taken advantage of again?
That's it. I don't want to say that, but that's it, I think so.
That's it. And you know what? You might be taken advantage of again. That's the risk you take in life, in love, and in business, right? I mean, sometimes you could be taken advantage of in business. It can happen anywhere.
In business, I don't have problem with that, but when I have a relationship with some girl, I don't like that. I don't like the girl see you like an object. Like, you have money and you're nice now. You're
right.
A good-looking guy because you have money, you have a nice car, I have a 350 BMW, and the girls get closer to the car, not to me.
You do have a nice car. It's true. So, you know, maybe you should show up in a not-so-nice car. Maybe you should have a couple cars. You don't let them see the nice car until they've...
Yeah, you first come out with
proven themselves and their love for you just a regular car.
I have an old Ford Ranger too, but that's for my business. I don't like to use that.
Pick him up in the business truck.
Listen, you got some money. Pick up a little Volkswagen or something, all beat up, you know.
Like the old.
Or a little Toyota.
Yeah, or like a little beat up Toyota. And then
you test her.
Then you're going to find out.
She loves you for you and not for your car.
And for a couple of dates, don't tell her what you do.
No, don't. Well, yeah.
Don't
take her
now.
Anyplace fancy. Just take her to some, you know, just your basic restaurants and bar, you know. Just be a regular guy.
Test her a little bit.
The answer, I think so.
Yeah, no, it works. And a lot of rich guys actually do that. I know an actor, John Cypher, who was a big actor in one of the television series, And he had a date with Tony Grant, who was a big radio psychologist. And so I said to him, well, you know, you're going to get a limousine to pick her up. He says, no, I'm not getting a limousine. I'm just going to drive an old, old car that I have.
Yeah, he did. She thought he was a real cheapskate.
And she thought he was a real cheapskate. That was the end of the romance. But the wonderful part
that
is...
That was the end.
Yes.
Because she was like those girls. Okay. She wound up marrying a multimillionaire.
Right, and then she turned around and married a multimillionaire because her radio career was over. So, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks for being...
Well, anyway, he and she were not meant to be together because he wanted someone who appreciated
trust
him
me,
for himself.
Norman?
I need something who appreciates like me. I have some history. My twin sister died 2 years ago.
Oh.
I have some
your
history
twin
with
sister?
My twin...
How did she
we
die?
Born in a car accident.
Oh, I'm so sorry. That's very traumatic.
She's with me always now.
Yes, of course.
I'm getting better now, but...
But wouldn't she want you to wouldn't she want you to have love in your life? Wouldn't she want you to have a girl?
I know she wants to, but now I don't know. But then the thing at least is, I want to find someone who know me first, and then
right. Well, you have to
know who I am.
You have to strategize this. You have to strategize it just like you do your business. And you have to test the woman and make sure that she wants to be with you for you. And then she wins a prize. All your hot cars.
She gets a ride in the good car.
No. Then I'm going to use my good car.
Right. Then you use... No, really, it's a really good strategy. And it will really... If you call her back after the first date and she doesn't answer... Then you know she didn't.
Okay.
Not only she didn't like you, she didn't like your car. Okay?
Yeah, and that's what she's all about. She wants a man.
Okay.
If she doesn't want to go out with you again, you know that she just wants a guy with a fancy car, and that she's just gonna try to take his money or his car or his apartment. You know, like your other girl did. And a lot of women are like that. Just like a lot of men use women for sex. You know, a lot of men objectify women too. Women objectify men. We all do it. So we have to have ways that we can test each other to see if the feelings are really there, if the feelings of love are really there. Because people are always tricking and faking and all that stuff.
Yeah, there's all kind of stuff going on. So, you know, you've got a good, you're in a good situation in your life.
I have a good situation, but I have to work to... Get that good
experience. Well, of course. You have to work
hard, but, you know, all work and no play makes Nicholas a dull boy.
Okay.
You got to have some play, or else you'll have a heart attack, Nicholas.
Thanks to both of you. And
okay.
You're welcome. I'm going
to
put you down into listening, so
is this the first time you've heard the show?
Yes, the first time.
Okay.
Oh, okay, great.
Well, stay in touch with
us.
Let us know what happens when you go out with a girl in the crummy car, okay?
That'll be fun.
Okay.
Keep us informed because we care. We're rooting for you. We want you to find a beautiful, wonderful woman that you can marry and spend the rest of your life with who will appreciate you for you and be great in bed.
Thanks. See you soon.
Okay, and be great having sex in the car, too, because that's fun, too. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Okay, so now I'm the bad guy. We'll talk to... Who do we have? Well, we have Hazem. I should have the new guy. I'm the bad guy. We'll get back to you soon. But Hazem, I believe, is here.
Hello,
Hazem. How are you?
If I like to talk, yes, I'm fine.
Good.
I'd like to talk about a little problem. It's about shyness when doing presentations.
You're shy when you do presentations. Is this in business, or are you presenting yourself at a bar to women?
No. I'm still in college.
Oh, you're in college. Okay. How old are you?
I'm 20.
Okay. So have you ever taken a public speaking course?
Yes, but it wasn't that efficient, you know.
Yes, I guess not.
Just like theoretical.
How about try taking an acting course? That's also very good.
Yeah? Have you ever been in a play?
No.
No?
I like acting.
Yeah,
yeah,
there you go.
You might be a very good actor. You know? And it's... go on.
I didn't try.
Okay.
Didn't try
well, you have to try. You have to. And you have to try to do something that will help to get you out there in public presenting something. And to begin with, it'd be fun to present, you know, just a part in a play. Just try out for a play. See if you can get into a play or take a theater course.
My problem is that I am good until the last moment before I start the presentation. I start the first 5 seconds. It's just like perfect, and then everything falls apart, and I am out of control.
What happens to you?
What happens to you?
I don't know. I just
forget everything.
You forget everything.
Okay.
And do you have notes?
Yes.
Can you look at notes?
I don't like to look at notes because it makes weak eye contact with the audience.
With the audience.
Right, right. Now, that's true. You're right. But sometimes
I don't like it.
It helps to have the notes because if you forget everything, you have some notes.
It helps, but it blocks my mind sometimes.
Do you rehearse the presentation before you do it? Do you go over it in front of other people, people that may be a friend or roommate?
Girlfriend.
Sometimes. No, I don't have one.
You don't have a girlfriend.
Right, no.
Okay, well.
Or just friends.
Just anyone. Even just doing it in front of your own mirror
at
home.
Excellent.
You ever try that, rehearsing in front of the mirror?
No.
Well, try rehearsing. You've got to, when I make presentations, when I'm about to make a presentation, I usually like to plan the first part of it, the first few minutes. I go over it and over it and over it until it's like a song. Like, you know, you don't forget a song.
You know, like I'm joining the song.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Okay, let me ask you a question that we haven't asked. Is there something physically weird about you, or that you're ashamed of?
No, thanks God.
No, okay.
Then back to the way I do, because I understand how you feel, and sometimes I will go blank in front of people, and I do a lot of presentations in front of people.
You know, it's just like you feel. You don't see anybody. You're looking in the space.
Yeah, so that happens. So you have to have ways to deal with that. You just have to... Now, my best way to deal with that is to rehearse it before. And I think that you need to do that.
And another thing, at your age, it's probably about time, too. You know, it takes time. You know, you're a very young man. You go to university. Where are you calling from? What part of the world or country?
Where are you?
What?
Hazem, where are you located?
You know, Egypt?
In Egypt.
Okay.
So, well, he's just saying that, you know, you'll get better at this as you get older.
It's all about practice.
Which is true. It's about practice.
Yeah.
And, I mean, a lot of times they say
at
least practice makes you good, if not perfect. At least you'll be better.
Right. You're not in limbo or purgatory, you know.
Right. You'll get the hang
there.
Of it. You'll just get used to talking to people in public. And then you won't even need to prepare. You won't even need to rehearse because you're used to it. But for now, you need to practice by yourself.
A lot.
Or do you have a roommate or a friend you could practice in front of? That's even better.
Yeah, I have many, actually.
Okay. So I would say when you're going to...
my family, at least.
And your family, that's right.
All right,
you can just start. And it's a little awkward to do it in front of your family, but, you know, it's important that you have that awkward feeling because that's what you're going to have in front of all these other people
when you do
the presentation at school.
Yes,
so you want to be able to know, I can feel awkward and then I can talk. And it's okay.
Yes.
And I'll get into the swing of it, you know. It's
kind of
like catching a wave.
What? What kind of practice do you suggest?
I suggest you're going to do a presentation about a subject, right? It's something you've
yes.
written something about. So I suggest that you memorize the first minute of it, sort of memorize it, and then just have an idea of what you're going to say after that, but not memorize the rest of it. Just memorize the first minute, and then then you can be free. But you got to use that minute to sort of launch yourself.
And you also have to sort of create a character for yourself, and as the years go by, you'll get to learn about your strengths. And I had a dear friend who always would start out with, as unaccustomed as I am to public speaking.
Yeah.
And people,
make an excuse for yourself.
Right, and people would laugh.
Yeah.
And then he'd roll over them like a, you know, like a Sherman tank.
But if you say something like that, you could actually get away with either
yeah.
being the tank or being right. just, you know, like a little butterfly.
Because ultimately it's the information that you have to deliver. It's really about that. So if you deliver the information under a character or something that you feel strong with, it'll be fine. It'll actually make fun of yourself.
Yeah,
have
like,
fun with yourself.
You know, I'm really not comfortable standing up here, but I'm going to go ahead and talk about this. It's okay to admit it. That can sometimes be very disarming when you admit that you're a little nervous right now, but here goes, you know?
And listen to this. Have I got some information for you? And you know what? You're making me a little nervous up there in the front row. Give me a little smile. Okay? So create a character for yourself. Study acting. Another thing that I did when I first got into acting that was great, I went to ballet school so that
yeah.
I learned...
Move, so you can move.
Yeah, so I learned how to move.
Yeah, that's true.
You
do you ever... What else?
I didn't tell anybody I went
ballet
to ballet school.
Or
but
dance of some sort.
Dance.
I did take
yeah,
a lot of dance.
Body struggle, you know, that kind of thing.
I'm awful at dancing.
Yes.
Well, there you go.
Well,
that's
in a way, when you're moving up there in front of people,
it's a
kind of a dance. It's not regular walking, and it's not just, if you're just standing there, it's a little awkward. So getting comfortable with your body is important.
That is the wisdom.
I have another problem.
Now you have another
problem.
Okay,
we solved the first one.
Okay.
Okay.
What's the next one?
It's the same problem, but it's about presentation also, but it's that I can't make a presentation about something that I'm not convinced about, you know?
Well, are you going to be a lawyer?
No.
Well, okay. That's lawyers always have to make presentations about things they don't believe in, but
right.
why do you have to make a presentation about something you don't believe in? You should believe in it. That's good.
And ultimately,
yes, I mean, if I'm business administration, so I would be in a situation where I will make a presentation about a product or something, and I don't know what to do if I'm not convinced with the thing I present.
You
might be a little bit have too much integrity for business, Hazem.
Right.
Business does require, to some degree,
corruption.
That you be corrupt.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the first rule of business.
You've got to sell.
You got to sell.
And in the wrong place.
Maybe that's true, and maybe that's the key. That could be the key to your problem, because if you believe in what you're saying, it's much easier to talk about it. I absolutely agree with you, unless you're just acting in a play, in which case. Again, the acting might help you to learn how to say things you don't believe in.
Like you don't really like the part, but
well, you're not,
it's
you
a
aren't
good
really
part.
The part. You,
right.
That's not really you, but you might like the part, but that's not you. You're playing a criminal or you're playing somebody who believes something you don't believe.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
if you're talking as yourself, then
you're the character, and then you can sell anything.
But he has to decide. You have to decide, Hazem, if you want to be in
business. You want to what? I'm sorry, what'd you say?
I won't feel guilty.
Right, you won't feel guilty, no. And you can only have success at really what you love. If you really love selling stuff that you don't really love, but you love selling it, is great.
And there are some people in business that are selling things they love.
Oh, yeah,
there
of course. Yeah.
It's not like it's impossible to be a businessman, especially if you're in your own business. Usually people that are in their own business, they do believe in what they're selling. It's when you're working for somebody else, some big corporate behemoth, that you often don't believe in what you're selling.
It's like a shoemaker trying to sell somebody else's shoes. You know, you're in Egypt, that's an ancient country, and so you have to believe in what you do, because otherwise, actually, the presentations are never, never going to be great, because your heart's not in it.
So your next presentation,
you know, some people don't find any problem in doing presentations about something they even don't.
Right. Well, there are a lot of superficial people in the world.
Yeah.
A lot of people
and
most people are hypocritical.
Hey,
most people do not, they do not practice what they preach. Most people preach a whole different line of thinking than what they really believe in. I think that that's the way most people are in business. That's the way most people are in religion. That's the way most people are in politics. And even to some degree in education. That's the way most people are. And so, yeah, I'm not, yeah, of course, there are a lot of people that have no problem with saying things they don't believe in. If it's going to make them money or get them ahead or make them look what they feel is good. And you sound like you are a very idealistic guy with a certain kind of integrity.
No, I'm not to that extent.
No? Well, you said if you only feel comfortable promoting what you believe in, that's
nobody's perfect.
No, nobody's perfect, but
everybody lies. I lie all the time.
Well, listen.
When it's about selling to someone, or it's about money, or something like that, I like to be honest. I don't like deceiving people.
Okay. But, you know...
So why do you have to deceive people in these presentations? I mean, this is in school, right?
No, it's college.
Mm. College, that's school. College. Okay. So you're in college. It's not like you're working for a corporation. So why do you have to deceive anyone? Why can't you just speak about things you believe in?
Let me ask you...
I want to ask him this question.
Go ahead.
Why can't you just speak about things you believe in your classes?
No, in the college I don't have any problems, but in the real life, you know, I expect that I will face some problems in this.
Well, I wouldn't
justice.
Worry about the. How much more college do you have?
Excuse me?
You're in college now, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I would just do very, very well in school. And just try to do as well as you can and get to be as good a speaker as you can, speaking about subjects that you're interested in and that you believe in. And then we'll see. When you graduate and you move on to a job, either you will continue to be a man of integrity, or you'll sell out and you'll be good at public speaking. Because, you know, oftentimes as people get older, they sell out. Not that I'm approving of that, but that's what happens to a lot of people. They're idealistic in their youth. And when they go into the working world, they become much more desperate for money, for fame, for recognition. In school, it's a little easier to retain your integrity. When you get older, it becomes a lot easier to sacrifice that integrity so that you can get what you think you deserve in life.
Let me ask you, why are you in public administration? Is it something your parents want you to do? I know Egypt...
No.
Okay.
No, it's...
Because Egypt
like,
is one big bureaucracy.
No, it's... you know, business have... business has... mathematics courses and numbers and theoretical courses, and I like all this stuff. If I was to be engineer,
right.
It's all about numbers, and I don't like only numbers. I like numbers and theoretical stuff. So it's
theoretical stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Get out of business administration. All right? Go where the numbers are. Really. If you're really good at then you don't have to make. Then you can just be a genius, sit at your desk.
I like both.
You like both. You like public administration.
I'm a little confused.
Me too. So what don't you want to sell?
What is it that you don't want to sell now? All right, I mean, first of all, I thought before you had trouble public speaking with your, you know, at school. Now you're saying you don't. You're almost thinking that you're going to have trouble speaking in public when you get a job, but you're not there yet. So what are you really worried about? What is your question really?
The question is what I can do to make a presentation about something I don't believe in.
And do you do those at school? Do you make presentations about things you don't believe in at school?
Yes, and it sucks.
Sucks. Yeah.
Oh. And why do you have to make a presentation about something you don't believe in? Don't you choose what you're making a presentation about, or does the teacher assign you?
No, it's group work.
Group
work. Group work. Teamwork.
Oh, teamwork.
Team, that's what it is.
The new name for fascism.
No, it's not really new. It's not new at all. Teamwork's a very old term.
No, tribes are old term.
Well, it's always tough to work with people. That's where hypocrisy often comes in, because you have to get along. You have to get along with others. So, I don't know. It doesn't... Now it's not sounding like you have, you know, the shyness that we thought you had about presenting the work, and you know, it's just that you have difficulty just getting along with your teammates.
Maybe I didn't recognize my problem.
Yeah, it's probably Dr. Block
is
probably right.
That's what we're about. We try to locate the problem. And that also might be because of your idealism, because you believe in what you believe, but working with others means compromise. Compromise.
Sacrifice.
And you can try to win them over to your point of view. And that's the challenge of social life. That's human life. Humans are mainly social creatures. That's what we have to do in life, is to try to go our way, but also work within the community. And that's what you're learning, and it's very painful.
College is just, cross-sectional sector of the whole life.
Yeah.
It's the whole life.
Yeah,
well,
but it's
complicated.
But it's only the state of limbo and purgatory. So you have to you go through that and listen.
And there's a politics. There's politics to college. Believe me, I know the politics of college, and I actually got sick of it, which is why I spent a lot of time in academia, I then ran like a bat out of hell out of it, because it's all about politics, all about sucking up to. The people in power and lording it over those you have power over. It's very similar to the corporate structure in many ways. It's just more intellectual. You know, I mean, I think that there's a little more honesty maybe in academia, but than the corporate world. But there is just as much politics that often corrupts the people in academia, and certainly can depress the people. But if you want to stay in academia for as long as you're there, you have to play that politics. You have to get good grades, and you have to get them from teachers who, you have to make the teachers want to give you good grades so that then you do well, and
you
then you can get out of there. And
I have to be a hypocrite.
You have to be a little bit of a hypocrite,
yes.
I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, life, like...
I can't.
You can't? Well, then, if you absolutely can't, then you drop out of school and you make your own way, and I was not brave enough to do that myself, Hazem. I felt I needed to just be hypocritical a little bit in order to get my college degrees, get my university degrees, and then I could go out and do what I want. And now I do what I want.
I prefer to get lower marks than to be hypocrite.
Well, okay.
You know,
go for it.
You gotta.
I can afford this.
Well, you know, Bill Gates. Listen, he didn't even graduate from Harvard. He went to Harvard and he dropped out, and then he founded Microsoft, and now everybody hates him because he's the head of Microsoft. But at least he's a billionaire.
I'm not Bill Gates.
Well, I'm just saying, you don't have to graduate from college to be a billionaire.
No,
you do
and then, in business.
I mean, Bill Gates, a lot of people, I mean, I might not think he's the greatest guy, but I admire him for going his own way. He did what he wanted. He believed in what he did, and he did it, and he was a success. He is a success, and he gives a lot of his money away for worthy causes now.
And that's the human triumph. That's how we triumph as individuals, to walk our own road.
So, you know, he's just one example of someone that dropped out of college. As I said, I am not so brave. I felt I needed to finish college and then get extra degrees, and then I could just let loose.
Me, I just took a couple of ballet lessons and
there you go.
Public speaking stuff, and then I could con anybody.
So, you know, you have to search within your soul as to what kinds of... You always have to make some compromises in life, I think. Unless you're going to be like the Unabomber and live out in a hut and, you know, then you end up hating humanity and doing very antisocial things. So, I mean, or you could be like a yogi and you don't hate humanity, you just meditate and stay away from humanity a lot. But if you want to be... among humanity, if you want to live in the civilized world, if you want to work in the civilized world, you have to make compromises. And to some degree, that is being a bit of a hypocrite. But, you know, it's only a matter of degree. So don't be a big hypocrite. Don't be like, you know, that preacher that told everybody that being gay is such a terrible sin that's going to send you to hell, and then what happens, but he's caught with a gay prostitute. And that was an American preacher, Ted, I forget his
Haggard.
Name. Haggard, right, Ted Haggard. He's like the supreme hypocrite. But there's a lot of levels of hypocrisy below that before you hit hermit, you know. And I don't think you want to be a hermit, do you?
No.
No. So, you know, you'll just find your level. I mean... You'll find it. You'll find it.
And you also have to become a chameleon in life. You have to move through people and structures and governments and to achieve what you really want. Dr. Block was at a philosophy conference in New York Mills, and the question was, must we always tell the truth?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, what must and we always tell? Is honesty always the best policy?
Yes, honesty always the best policy? And it's not.
It's not.
It's really not.
No, and my view prevailed, which is that honesty is not always the best policy, because sometimes, you know, people can't take the truth.
Right. Sometimes you don't want to tell a girl in the front row, you know, you're the ugliest thing I've ever seen, and I can't go on with this presentation.
That's, so to some degree, a...
Honesty now is a problem.
I'm sorry, what was that?
We can view now honesty as a problem, not a merit.
Honesty is a merit, and it is a problem. Because everybody has a truth.
Merit.
You know, and that's the conflict. That's really the conflict, and you have to bring those two things together.
And humor does help a lot.
No.
It helps with your position and expressing your position.
Oh, no.
Just the merit, but it's about how extent you can afford the problem that will come from honesty. It's about the personality.
Honesty has a lot of problems. Fraud has a lot of problems. The world is about one big beautiful problem, and that is this: how do I walk through this world? And what is my ultimate goal? What do I have to give up? And you're in charge of all of that.
And, you know, all of social life is about seducing and being seduced, whether we're talking about for love or for money or for power.
So you got a lot of stuff to think about, okay? You got ballet classes. You got to talk in the mirror. You got to expose yourself
practice
in front of parents.
With your family.
You got to practice. I mean, you got a lot of problems.
And you
got
to think about whether business is really the right, right field for you, because, I mean, like we said, hypocrisy exists on every level of social human existence, but in business, it's probably at a very high level.
So take your problems and plant them in the backyard, and you have this little problem and that, and then you water these problems, you know, and get to know those problems and defeat them.
It's about the culture here in Egypt.
Now we go back.
The culture
yes,
in Egypt.
Yes.
What about the culture in Egypt?
Look, when it's about business administration, it's the most
wanted
school which
yeah and cherished
yeah,
job
not wanted that will make you enter any job field.
You could become the dictator of Egypt. What are you talking about? You start as a clerk, and then you move up, and then you move into the military, right? And bureaucracy.
No, not military.
No, you stay out of the military.
I'm just joking with you.
You don't want to get hurt.
Yeah. You know. But yes.
No, but it has the widest variety of jobs. Business school.
Yeah, business school is big in Egypt. It's big all over the Arab world today because
business school is big all over the world.
All over the world because everybody's in the business of selling something.
But in
hey,
Arab
you know,
world,
our president went to business school. He went to Harvard Business School.
Look what a mess he made.
Look what a mess he's made. Right.
Yeah.
So
I have if for myself I would like to be a musician.
But the parents
because music
and the
is
society,
always honest. Music
right.
never lies. Music
so,
never lies.
You know, there's
but
your
the problem that my family say
you be an administrator.
This is your problem.
Yeah.
So you being in business school at all is
a problem.
A very big lie in your life because you really want to be
a
musician.
Musician. Yeah. So, you know what you have to do like they do in all other cultures? Listen, don't think that Egypt has a different culture. I mean, if you're Jewish here in the United States, you're going to become a lawyer.
Let me ask you, do you perform music?
I'm not a perfect musician. I just taught myself two or three instruments, and I need courses. I'm not perfect, but I think I got the talent. I think.
You think? Well, you know, I think you should nurture that talent right now while you're young, because if you don't, you'll regret it all your life, and your parents are just going to have to deal with it for a little while. You've got to nurture it, and you've got to put some attention to it, and see whether you've got some possibilities there. Because music is something you believe in. And
yes.
Music is something, that's where your heart is. That's what I'm hearing. And that's why the rest of this conversation has been all over the place. Because the heart of your being is in your music. And even if music does not become your profession, music will be with you for the rest of your life. And so
yes.
You need to
develop
it right now while you're young. So that even if you don't become a professional musician, I mean, there's a slight chance you will. Of course, there's so many professional musicians.
No, it's like the most enjoyable thing I can do in my day. It's playing instruments.
Right. So you need to.
Because
you need
also
to.
I like to be alone many times.
Yeah.
So music is the best choice for me.
The right choice for you is what you want to do, and you have
to. It's not that I'm antisocial. You know, don't get the wrong idea.
No, no, no.
I like to get along with people and get out.
We don't want you to be the Unabomber.
Something.
Right.
But a lot of times I like to be with myself.
Right, and you like to be with yourself, and you have to face your family. You have to face your family. And it is about culture.
Are you living, does your family pay for all your expenses? Do you have any kind of job?
No, in our culture, we depend on our families until graduating.
Okay, well then you have to be very good at explaining to your family that you have to spend a lot of time on your music
right
now, and yet at the same time you still have to, I guess, stay in college or your family.
You can also tell your family, listen, I'm going to be a terrible administrator, but I'm going to be a great musician.
And you know
what? Actually, great.
You need to work on your music so that you can share it with your family, and then they'll love it too.
And so that you can be happy.
Your music is right now something for you to be happy, but eventually it should be something you give as a gift to the world.
Or
right?
For myself, at least.
Oh, for yourself.
For yourself, at least.
At least. And that's ultimately...
If it will make me happy, I'm...
Yeah. Because
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, you need that, because otherwise you're going to get very depressed.
You're
going to
be miserable.
You're already on the verge of a nervous breakdown.
Forget it.
You're kind of teetering there. So you've got to, your music is your solace. Your music is better than Prozac.
I want to ask a question. If I didn't have courses in this time, will it be harder to learn in the future?
Always. It always gets harder to learn as you get older. But not impossible. People sometimes, in fact, for some people, they can come back and be better because they understand more about life. So they can apply themselves with more passion to their studies.
And being
your brain is always better and more absorbent when you're young. But sometimes you're not emotionally ready to settle down and learn. And as you get older, sometimes you realize this is what I need to learn, and so you can be better at studying, even though your brain is technically not as absorbent as a young brain. Why, are you thinking of dropping out of school?
No, I mean about music.
Music.
Yes,
I just think you have to do it now as well. I mean, can't you do both? Can't you stay in school and do music? Come on, you're young. You have energy.
Yes, I can.
Okay, do that.
But to become a great musician or a great pianist or a great anything, you have to practice.
Right, and even if you're not going to become great, you have to practice because you have to become good. You have to at least become somewhat good.
You have to deal with your parents, and I understand the culture, and I understand. Listen, I'm Italian. They're worse than Egyptians.
Are your parents into music at all?
Yes, they like music.
Okay. Well, maybe they'll understand.
But,
they'll understand
but
that that's
idea,
an important
the idea
part of your spirit.
That they think arts in general
doesn't
make money.
Doesn't make money, yeah.
Well, in general, it doesn't.
Right.
So they're right. They're right.
But...
It doesn't earn life.
Well, and that's not quite true either.
It doesn't what? Doesn't earn life?
Earn life. It doesn't earn you a living.
Oh.
Yeah, but in a way it does.
It could.
In many ways it does.
It depends.
Andy Warhol, Gucci.
Well, but he was an exception to the general rule. There's a gazillion starving artists for everyone and Andy Warhol.
What's that T-shirt you're wearing? Well, yeah, but for every business tycoon, there's millions that are broke.
But there's a lot of guys that get jobs in business.
You got to follow your heart, change your culture.
But we believe you got to follow your heart.
Change yourself. And the revolution and the evolution starts within your heart. Always. Always, always, always. And you got to be a brave heart because you know what?
And women love musicians.
Yeah. Oh, women, you don't have to worry about, you don't even have to have a mansion. You don't have to be...
You don't even have to have the BMW.
Right.
If you can play music, so you play a woman a love song of some kind.
I lift a lot of girls.
Okay, so there you go.
Okay, so...
So that's what you got to do, and keep us posted.
Actually, they like me to sing for them.
Okay, will you
that's
sing?
That's what you want. You want to sing for
will
the girls.
Will you sing for us now?
Yeah, sing a little bit. In Egyptian, please.
In Egyptian.
Yes, of course. Sono italiano, voglio cantare.
There you go. My husband sings in bed.
You will find it.
He does.
I know you'll find it weird because you don't know the words and something.
No,
like
not.
No, no, no.
Not at all.
We'll,
I watch a lot of Egyptian videos.
Actually, we like Egyptian music.
We love Egyptian music.
We do. We don't know what you're saying, but we like it.
So sing a little bit.
Sing, please.
I'll sing you some of the oldies.
Okay, go ahead.
Like, على الدشو اللي خيوني يا جميل سلم سلم دنا يا معيوني عليك شغلوني يا ما بتسلم وبخاف لا تصدق يوم للناس واحتار بوصف للناس الجنة وانا في النار وبخاف لا تصدق يوم للناس واحتار بوصف للناس الجنة وانا في النار غلي علي وضيع عقلي ارحم عذابي معك.
واو
واو
ويه. Okay,
beautiful.
That's beautiful.
Very, very nice voice.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, that was not easy to do, singing a cappella with no instrumental accompaniment.
That was wonderful, wonderful.
Very nice.
So that's what you should be doing.
And not that I'm an expert in Egyptian
and
music.
You know, there are
very nice.
There are three terrorists in the world. There are children, they're terrorists.
And our parents.
Our parents, and then there's George Bush.
Yeah.
Okay? So you...
Dick Cheney.
And Dick Cheney, but he's kind of a little guy. But you have to go after that dream and that voice.
That voice is beautiful. Yeah,
and
you really have to
and
develop
it's gonna,
that.
And it's going to cost you. Your mom may not talk to you for 30 years.
But your mom will love the voice.
But the mom will say, that's my son.
It's a beautiful voice.
It's beautiful.
Okay, so you got to get into that. You got to develop that.
I didn't think you'd like it, actually.
Well, see? What do you know?
Yeah.
We loved it. We loved it. We were looking at each other with our mouths open, going, "Wow, that's." I mean, I thought you were going to sound terrible, actually.
And also the voice.
I thought you were going to have a scratchy little voice. There was a very, very nice singing voice.
So
a beautiful song. And what did that song mean?
What did it say? Just
long story.
No, make it short.
Please,
you know,
a short
this is
story.
A short
we're done with the show.
Presentation here. What's it about? Is it about love? Is it about what?
Someone.
Huh?
Yes, it's one who didn't see his love for a long time, and he's still telling her about how much he needed her and something like that.
Uh-huh.
Oh, so it's
well, that was great.
I miss you song. Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to use that tomorrow night to open the show.
That was beautiful.
It was beautiful.
That's now our jingle.
That's our jingle. We need
we now
a
have
jingle.
That
thank
was
you.
Our jingle. Yeah, we have a jingle now. Okay,
no,
that was great, Hazem. So,
another song.
Another
English.
Song? What? You have an English song for us now?
Yeah, you know the Who, of course.
Of course.
The Who, yeah.
Pete Townsend.
You know,
Roger Daltrey.
Behind Blue Eyes.
What was that?
Behind Blue Eyes.
Listen.
Oh yeah.
Before you do that. You got to do me a favor. I'm the chief engineer on the ship. You got to turn down your speakers.
Yeah, right. That's what's
okay,
echoing.
Okay, because I'm feeding back, and I want to get this really good.
Yeah,
okay?
So you're going to sing Behind Blue Eyes?
Okay.
Great.
Okay.
Go for it.
To be faded tell only lies, but my dreams.
I don't remember the words.
Okay,
wow.
Well, that's a good start.
Wow.
You got to work on that, but that was very good. Very good. Very nice voice.
Okay, you got to get out of this business administration stuff.
Yeah. Well, can't you do both? You know, so the parents don't completely
well,
cut
know,
them off.
No, but, you know, there is a discussion that mom, dad, you should support the arts.
Yeah.
And there is a discussion in culture.
The point is that they do like arts, but they don't believe they will make money.
Well, you say, listen, I may
they
not...
Like art. And they encourage me to take courses and something like that, but not to make it my profession.
Well, you don't have to make a profession just yet. I mean, you're still in school. So that's one of the privileges of being a student, is you're not in the professional world just yet. So now is a time as a student to develop your musical nature. It's very important. Very important to your life. You know, a lot of life is about making money, but not all of life. And the most important things in life are not about making money. They're about being happy and doing
and
meaningful things and giving pleasure to others. And that's what your music is about. And you might not make money with it, but it's a very important part of your nature, and it is important to develop this right now.
Money is not the most thing I think about. I just want to earn a good living. That's it.
You know, Hazam, you are
no,
talking. You could talk forever, my darling, and we are about out of time.
We have to end the
we
show.
We have to end, and we're going to just say hi to Sarman real quick because he's been waiting in the waiting room for a long time, waiting for another chance to say hello. So,
thank you, though.
Hazam, thank you for the beautiful music. No, it's okay. It's okay.
Music.
You're a good talker. You're very seductive. All right, took a while before we found out where your true nature is, and that's in your music. Bye, darling. Good luck.
And you got a lot
keep
of things
in touch
to
with
think
us.
About.
Okay. So I'm moving him down to listening, and let me just say hello to Sarman.
Sarman.
Hey, yeah. Sarman.
Hey, what's up? I wanted to say something for Hazim.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think Hazim, if he's still there.
He's here. He's in the listening area. You know what?
Okay,
I'm going to put him up. I'm going to put him up into talk too. Let's put him up.
Okay.
Put them both off. Since you're talking about him, okay.
Hazim, are you there?
Sarman has something for you here.
Yes.
Hazim, you should make recordings of yourself singing in Egyptian or English, and fix it up a couple of times and just sell it to around eBay, whatever it is. And little by little, you'll earn recognition, and people will know. And then you can show it to your parents, though, people know me out there. And then people will be wanting more video through different recordings, and you can move up from there. You don't have to have a manager. You don't have to have nothing like that. Be your own manager. Make your own recordings and move yourself up by yourself. Making cash dollars here and there, you know? That's the only
Sarman
best
place. Is in business. Sarman's a
Sarman
young businessman.
Sarman is a young
right,
businessman. Yeah. So,
Hazim, I don't know if you're ready for that yet, but it's nice to know that somebody believes in you.
When I'm popular, I'll make him my manager.
But isn't that nice to know that a guy you don't even know thinks you're good enough to do that?
Yeah, I got
he's
the show the same
did,
too.
Especially the Egyptian song, but the other one was good too. He just didn't know all the words. But the Egyptian song, we wouldn't know if you didn't know all the words. But the Egyptian song was really, really impressive. So you've got you could have a fan base, Hazam, right here on my Skypecast. You can develop your fan base, okay? So we're going to put you both down into listening.
Right from here.
Yeah.
Right from there.
Right from here, that's right.
We don't have to leave home anymore.
Okay, so this has been a fun show. You never know what's going to happen on
the
show.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It evolved on its own. But it's time to say goodnight. Tomorrow night, we're actually going to have an author of a book called Pornology. And she went to Harvard, speaking of schools. And she'll be here, and we'll be talking with you all as well, both on Radio Susie 1, on drsusanblock.com, and on Skype. And you Skypers, we're going to be ending now, but you should visit my site at drsusanblock.com. You can go to my blog. You can go listen to old radio shows, including this one will be up and running for in about an hour, let's say. It'll be up
so
on
if you
the radio archives. And if you want to check out Tay, go to Clipperama, because we've got some clips of Tay in action. Okay? So have fun. Be good. Be happy. Be happy in what you do. Try to find the pleasures in life. And whatever you do, I want you to make love, not war. Make like the bonobos, not the baboons. Make music. Make art. Don't make war. You know, make something constructive, productive. Give pleasure to others. The power to give pleasure is the greatest power you have. Make love to someone you love tonight, even if that someone is you. I love you.
From Los Angeles, California, from our house to your house, you've been listening to DrSusanBlock.com. From our house to your house, we love you. Lay down your arms. We're one world. We're one people. Power to the people.